words come out of his mouth. And Lord, let us receive them with gladness and joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right.
Good morning, everyone.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, we're going to talk about the parable of the lost sheep. Today is a day, amen? All right, so let's read through this parable here. Parable of the lost sheep, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" It says, "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So today, I'm going to start off with a short video. I was inspired by Ed Lindenbauer. I know he'll appreciate this video more than anybody. It's a very, you have to pay close attention. It's a tough translation here. Can I get somebody on lights over there, Matt? Well, Pastor Don, I apologize that it wasn't The Simpsons, but that I have to do.
I thought you were going to have some wolf or something to be extra funny. It doesn't turn out the way you thought.
Now I'd like to show another video that will get us through till about 9:45, and we'll dismiss class. Anyway, I thought, you know, I was just looking around for videos and whatnot, and I thought, what a pretty powerful, little simple, but yet powerful illustration, you know, that little two-minute video shows. You see how he was in the sheepfold and how he got distracted. And next thing you know, he's moving away from, you know, the shepherd. You know, he's following that little butterfly. And, you know, how many times in our own walk that we get distracted from what God wants us to do, and maybe we get enticed by things, and we just find ourselves moving farther and farther, you know, away from the shepherd. Amen. And then you see where he, you know, I thought it was pretty cool where he went, and all of a sudden it was a scary, dark place, and the bats come out like Scooby-Doo. Remember at the beginning of Scooby-Doo and the bats all come out? Yeah, right. But I thought, you know, when we, you know, those of us have been with the Lord and maybe we walked away and or got enticed to leave for a while, you know, what a scary place that is when you walk away from God. You know, how many know the Word says, you know, we can walk away from God, but He will never walk away from us. You know, that's one thing it says in His Word. It says, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." So that's a nice promise. We might walk and try to run from God and hide from God and be like that sheep going out. But that shepherd, you see that shepherd comes after him. He's looking. He's searching. You know, he sees the value in you. He doesn't want to let you go. And I like, too, at the end of that video where that sheep is just hanging by a thread before that branch breaks. You know, how many of us before we came to the Lord were hanging by that thread? And we're like, oh, Lord, you know, if you just, you know, save me, you just, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. And you're ready to fall into this pit just like that sheep was. And how many of us He rescued, you know, at the last possible second, you know. That's just how much God loves us, amen. You know, and I mean, the sheep, he was just out there doing his thing, you know. He wasn't trying to make his way back. And, you know, when we go out in that world, especially if you've been serving the Lord, this is very important. If you've been serving the Lord, you give your heart to the Lord, and you're serving Him, and you love the Lord, and you're doing the best you can, and then you turn your back on God, and you start going the other way, you know, that opens you up to all kinds of attacks. Amen? You know, then the devil's sitting there going, cracking his nose, all right, Tom, Tom, we've been waiting for Tom, you know. We know he's been serving God since he was in his mother's womb, but now we got him. You know, now he's in college. We're coming after him, you know. He's licking his chops, you know, because he wants to take out one of God's kids. Amen? So before we're going to discuss breaking down this parable some more, we're going to go back to the beginning here. And I want to talk about verses 1 and 2 up here. It says here, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." So first question I have here is, who is Jesus addressing here? Yeah, besides Pastor Don. Same, but who is Jesus addressing in this parable?
Those that are supposed to be in charge, the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones that are supposed to be leading and teaching the right way.
Yep. And not only that, it says the tax collectors and sinners, they were gathered around him too. So he had a big audience. He had the Pharisees, you know, the religious people, but he also had the tax collectors and sinners all there. Amen? Yes, amen. So, you know, I love the attitude, I'm being sarcastic here, of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law here. You know, they're sitting there amongst themselves and they're saying, this man welcomes sinners, man, and he's eating with them, you know, and they're muttering. And I looked up that. Does anybody know what the word muttering means? Well, I looked it up. And actually, I heard the word last night. We were watching a TV show. They're talking about muttering. And it says, I looked up the definition. It says, muttering means to grumble, to say something in a quiet voice, especially as a complaint or being annoyed. You know. Now, I know I've been guilty of muttering in my life, you know. But you could, you know, I want to set the scene here. You know, these Pharisees, they're watching Jesus. He's welcoming people that, oh, you shouldn't associate with him, man. He was out in the bar last night. You shouldn't associate with him. You know, what's Jesus doing hanging out with these sinners? But they're all amongst themselves. You see that? You see that, man? You know, this man welcomes sinners, and not only welcomes them, he's eating with them. You know, who's this guy think he is? You know? Amen? You know, thank God that Jesus welcomes us, right? Romans 5:8 says this. It says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that means when we were still doing the things we shouldn't be doing, we were still in our sin. Even the Roman soldier that put him on the cross, Christ died for him. Amen? The people that had him crucified died for them. Amen? Who's got their Bible? What's your name, honey? Narissa. Narissa? I'm sorry. I apologize. Can you open up to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapter 3? I'm going to have you read. Who's got the mic? My you have to apologize for my sister here. Yeah, I'll try to wake everybody up here. Morning, Mark. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20.
3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, and he with me.
Yeah, in different versions, it says, I will come and I will eat with him, and he will eat with me. So, you know, here Jesus, they're talking about how back then, in this parable, you know, they were grumbling that he was eating with these people, you know. And Jesus says here at the end of the Bible that here I am. I'm standing at the door knocking. You know, he's knocking at our hearts, amen. It says, if anyone, so what does that include? Does that include anyone in here? Does that include the worst sinner? Who thinks it doesn't?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm scanning the crowd, sorry.
You said worse. Look right at me, I don't know.
If anyone, it doesn't say except, you know, I don't know. Who's corrupt nowadays? Any politician? Even a politician can get saved, amen? If anyone, any man, any woman, if they hear my voice and open the door. Well, when you're opening the door, you're opening up the door to your heart. And you're asking God, you know, God, come in. I've done not a good job of my own life. I've made a mess of my own life. I recognize that, Lord. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord. He says, if you do that, you repent. He says, he'll come in and he'll eat with you. He'll come in. He'll live in your heart. He'll change you. Because as we all know, we can't change ourselves. Only God can. Amen? And, you know, some people, you know, we've been saved a while, many years, and God loves us so much that sometimes he has to remind us of how sinful we are, that we still are. And I want to just share a little story, what happened yesterday. God had to give me a reminder. We were coming to the funeral yesterday. I had my suit jacket on. It was beige. We were getting here a little early. I had to finish up my lesson, so I was dropping Christy off to meet with Sarah. And so she had made me a protein shake. So I was going to drink it in the car on the way here, whatnot. So it had a little flip top. So I opened up the flip top, and this chocolate protein shake sprayed all over the car, all over my suit. So chocolate milk basically all over my beige suit. Well, let's just say I got a little angry. the thoughts that were going in my mind were rage, anger, words that aren't nice. I mean, I was really, really mad. And, you know, even a few seconds later, I said, man, I can't believe this. I'm going to the funeral. Blah, blah, blah. I got this all over me. I literally wanted to take that jug and throw it out the window. I wanted to whip it out the window. That's how mad I was. I got this stuff all over me, you know. And finally, I calmed down. And God, in his still quiet voice, he said, see, you know, you're still a sinner, Bri. You still have issues. And I know I am, but every now and then, God's got to remind me. You know, just like, you know, you're no better than anybody else, Bri. You're only saved by grace, you know, through faith. So I appreciate that, and then I repented. You know, when you sin, hey, just repent. You know, when you're a little kid, you do something wrong against your parents. Mom, I'm sorry. Okay, you know. My mom was very quick to forgive, thank God. Well, let's get back to the parable here. My wife, by the way, she never sins, so she's perfect. Back to the parable, verse 3 and 4. Jesus says to them, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. So he's addressing them. He doesn't say, suppose a farmer has, or suppose a rich man, or suppose a shrewd manager. In this instance, he says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. And the King James says, what man among you would not go after the one? So he's asking the crowd, which one of you wouldn't go after that one sheep? Now my question is, you know, what value could there be in just one sheep? You know? I mean, after all, it's just one. You got 100. And what's one? You know? It says, and I looked this up in history. It says, sheep production was well established during biblical times. It says, there are many references to sheep in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Sheep production is man's oldest organized industry. I didn't know that. And it says here, wool was the first commodity of sufficient value to warrant international trade. I didn't know that. You know, so I learned a little history lesson there that these sheep, they're pretty valuable. Because you shear them, what is it, once a year, a couple times a year, and you're making pretty good money. So one sheep could net you a good return. I was watching Animal Planet one time, and they had these alpacas. They're like llamas. And each one, each coat they got off of them was worth like $500, $600 or whatever. And they sheared them once a year. It's like, and they had 10 of them. I was like, I was thinking about raising a few of those. You know, if Christy would go out there and shear some sheep for me, you know, that'd be... I've been sheared enough. Well, I'm sorry, Fred had a comment. What? By the way, a little plug-in. If you've never seen, speaking of llamas, my favorite all-time movie, me and Ed, all-time, Emperor's New Groove. If you got little kids and they've never seen it, David Spade plays a llama. It's a great movie. A lot of good values in that. Let's get back to the story. So just like that, you know, you wouldn't want one little sheep if you were the shepherd to, because that's money. Plus you get attached to those sheep, you know. God doesn't even want one of his sheep to be lost. Not even one. Now the Bible says it's his will that not one should perish. He doesn't want one person to end up in eternity away from him. An eternity away from him is hell. He wants every man to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? In 2 Peter 3:9, I need somebody to read that. Somebody else, a new volunteer. Ashley. Second Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
He doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, and I thank God he's patient with us. I thank God he was patient with me. Now, if I was God, I'd have been frustrated with me a long time ago. Amen. I would have given up. You know, well, if God won't give up on people, should we? Should we look at a person and say, oh, he's beyond all hope. Oh, forget about him. He's nothing but a thug. He's nothing but this, that, blah, 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 or she. She's never going to change. Well, that's a lie from the devil. You know, I'm sure Pastor Don, I know Bob, and I actually have a story of people we prayed with on their deathbeds that received the Lord. And you know what? They get the same reward we do. They get eternal life with the Lord. And they never served him his whole life, but God is that merciful. Amen. You know, it reminds me of, you know, when Jesus died, they had him crucified between two thieves. And you read how the thieves, they were hurling insults at Jesus as they were dying. Except the one, it says later on, he had like a change of heart, and he says, you know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus didn't say to him, well, you did nothing for me. You didn't serve me. You didn't do this. You didn't do nothing. I don't know you. No, Jesus said to him, he says, you know what? I tell you the truth. When Jesus said that, you better listen. He says, I tell you the truth. Today, this very day, you'll be with me in paradise. That man, I tell you what, and then when he died, boom, he was with the Lord, and he's still with the Lord, amen? He had to his last breath, you know? But I don't want to wait that long. I want to see people get saved now. Why? Because I want to see their lives change now. I want to see them lead others to the Lord. I want to see them have that abundant life that God talked about. Yeah, do I want to reach people on their deathbed? Absolutely. Well, what if you never make it to that deathbed? You know, what if you get in that car accident and you don't know? You know what's going to happen. But God's going to keep pursuing you. Even you might try to hide. You might try to go in the deepest, darkest places. God's going to be there. You can't run because he loves you that much. Amen? How does a shepherd know that there's only one sheep missing out of 99? I'm like thinking, 99 is a lot. I mean, how does he know that? Well, you know, that's because he knows his sheep. The shepherd knows, and he, you know, it's like if you had 100 kids in your class, you'd know who's missing after a while because you watch them closely. And you get to know them. It says, you know, just like God watches over us. Psalm 121, verse 5 through 8, it says, the Lord watches over you. Now that's comforting. It says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God's with you. You just got to open your heart to him. And don't buy the lies of the devil. Oh, God don't care. God don't love you. God's dead. That's all lies. The devil's just doing his job because he's the father of lies. Amen? You know, Jesus, whenever he speaks truth. That Bible, Larissa, you just read, that's all truth. So when you read, that's truth. But when the devil, he speaks all lies. Now, he might add a little truth in there. But even 1% truth, 99% lies is lies. Amen? You know, I could list many individuals in the Bible that God went after. Job, Samuel, Elijah, Daniel, Isaiah. And you could summarize it with this scripture in Malachi 1:2. It says, God says, I have loved you, says the Lord. And the people responded, how have you loved us? You know, and how sad is it that so many people don't realize how much God loves them? You know, the fact that we're here today, we're breathing, we're still alive, is a testament of how much God loves us. You know, the fact that he sent his son to die for us when we didn't deserve it is a testament of how much God loves us. You know, everything we have is a gift from God. Amen? Because I tell you what, if God turned his head away from you for just one second, all hell would break loose in your life and the devil would come in like a flood. You'd be out there. It'd not be good. Instead of loving God, some people perceive God as being distant and judgmental, not realizing that God is actually pursuing them. Why? Because he wants a relationship with them. I think back when I was a little kid, or, you know, if you have little kids now, it's my first grandson over there. Man, I want that relationship with him. He's at the stage now, he's 6, 7 weeks old. Now he's starting to smile, so every time I talk to him, he starts smiling. No teeth, you know. Just kidding, Jerry. Well, you know, it brings joy to my heart. You know, it's that I get that unconditional love. You know, reminded when my daughter was little. Now, we won't talk about the teenage years.
Yours or hers?
Both. And that's, you know what, Pastor Don, I'm glad you brought that up. Because us that have been serving the Lord for a while, sometimes God needs to remind us, hey, what were you doing when you were their age?
Where'd you come from?
Oh. Well, Pastor Don's known me since before teen years, so he can tell where I was. And yes, we won't go there. But, you know, we have to remember, have grace and mercy on people, as Kenny always says. Remember where we were once, you know, and we don't want to go back there. And we want to have grace and mercy on them. So there were many dangers when the lost sheep strayed away from the flock. It could have been attacked by a wolf, a lion, a bear. So just as we, when we stray away from God, or if we've never really committed our lives to God, you know, there's imminent danger. Drugs, thieves want to steal your stuff, murder, immorality, divorce, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. You know, I have a question. I wonder, just a thought. You know, how many people that you know, they knew the Lord, maybe they knew the Lord when they were younger, and they strayed away. I wonder if we did a poll of how many of them would honestly answer that their lives, oh, my life's so much better since I walked away from God. In all honesty, because a lot of people, they'll lie to you and say, oh, yeah, I could do this, I could do that, you know, and they'll lie to you, say, oh, my life's great, I'm making money, hey, I got money, I got this, I got the women. Does that make life better? No, and I feel bad. But even if people don't recognize how messed up they are, let's say they knew the Lord and they walked away, or maybe they never knew the Lord, and they don't recognize how messed up their lives are, I'm sure that those of us that are closest to them, we recognize that. You know, my wife and I, when we're praying for our family members, we're like, man, can you believe they're doing this? And they don't even think it's wrong, and they let this set, blah, blah, blah. You know, if they can't see it, definitely others can. But guess what? These same people that deny God, they want nothing to do with them, they turn their backs on them. These people are exactly the ones that God's pursuing. I don't want even them, not one of them. I love them that much. You know, like I said before, no one is too far gone. Okay, verse 5. We're going to speed it up a little bit. It says, and when he finds it, the sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. You know, where were we when God found us? Were we high on the mountaintops and I can't wait to get saved, Lord. I love you, but I'm ready now, Lord. No, most of us were in the valley. You know, clinging onto that branch like that sheep. Or in the garbage. Yeah, literally, physically, maybe spiritually. Maybe we just strayed a little from the sheep. Maybe we never wanted to be any part of being in that sheepfold. It didn't matter. God still wanted a relationship with you. No one else maybe wanted a relationship with you. Man, I don't want to hang with this guy or this girl. I don't, you know, God did. He wants to hang with you. He wants to love on you. Is that all that matters? And God's the one that puts the change in us. Amen? You know, the Bible says if any man is in Christ, meaning you give your heart to Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, let me tell you, we could go on and on about stories of how messed up our lives used to be and the bad things we used to do, but we're not going to brag on that. That's old. It's gone. The devil tries to remind us of the past, but we're just going to remind him of his future. Because he's going to be in hell, we're not. Amen? It says here, he joyfully puts the sheep on his shoulders. God is happy when we repent, and he does carry us on his shoulders. Does anybody remember the footprints in the sand? And you're looking and say, God, where were you when this part, I see you with the footprints here. He goes, that's when I carried you. You know? Thank God he carries us. Even still, when we're serving him, God has to carry us at times. And in verse 6, this is my favorite part, he calls his friends and neighbors, he says, it's party time, you know. And me, I love to see people give their hearts to the Lord or rededicate themselves to the Lord. And I know a couple people did that down in Atlanta. I'm proud of them. Very proud of them. and rejoicing. It says God and all his angels were rejoicing when you got saved. And there's a, I'm going to say this. There's a rumor that has it when Bob got saved, it says they partied so hard in heaven that God had to actually proclaim an extra Sabbath day rest. Because they partied so hard when Bob got saved. So I just want to end. Yes. Yes.
There was an old song, and I think it was Imperials. This was back from the 80s. We're going way back. But I love, yeah, I love what it says here. It says, at the completion of the Golden Gate, no, the angels did not celebrate. And when the right boys flew their bird, no angelic shouts were heard. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout. It's when a sinner makes the Lord their choice. That's when the angels rejoice. Now, when the light bulb first lit up the town, no, the angels did not dance around. And when the first man stepped on the moon, they didn't sing a victory tune. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout. It's when a sinner heeds the Savior's voice. That's when the angels rejoice. It says, now heaven doesn't strike up the band for any old occasion at hand. It's got to be a special thing to make those angels sing. Now, when the Model T first hit the street, it didn't bring all heaven to its feet. And when the first computer was born, they didn't blow on Gabriel's horn. There's only one thing that we're sure about that'll make those angels jump and shout. It's when the sinners make the Lord their choice. That's when the angels rejoice. And I always remember that, you know, that because it goes right, you know, obviously taken from that parable of the lost sheep, that is what brings heaven, you know, to its feet. We see a football game, somebody makes a great place. You go to a Michigan game, there's 110,000 people, somebody runs 30, 40 yards. That whole crowd stands in unison. And you just hear this roar. You can hear it miles away. And you think, hey, when somebody bows their knee to the king, all heaven, you know, just stands and rejoices.
Amen. Pastor, you want to close us in prayer, bro?
Thank you, Father. We thank you for the parable of the lost sheep. We thank you, Lord, for your heart that, Lord, that though we may walk away, you never leave us nor forsake us. And just like that little video, you come searching for us. And, Lord, so many times at that last second you reach down and you grab hold of us and you save us from complete and utter destruction. Father, I pray that you continue to move in people's lives, that you continue to reveal yourself. We thank you, Lord, for the teaching today. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives. Now, Father, we pray also for the service as we're going to go down there in a few minutes. Lord, let your anointing, let your presence just fill that place. Touch hearts and minds and souls. Bring people unto yourself. Father, we thank you. And Lord, may we rejoice as we go down. May we rejoice in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.